Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In our text for today, Jesus tells a parable. And as I said before, sometimes Jesus, he tells a parable and then immediately he explains what that parable means. And sometimes he tells a parable and then he just kind of lets it sit. And you're just kind of left there scratching your head wondering, what does this parable mean? The parable for this morning falls into the latter category. Jesus says, "A man planted a vineyard and let it out to tenants, and went into another country for a long while." A vineyard. Vineyards are very important, especially in the ancient times, because vineyards are where you found grapes, and everyone drank wine. And so the vineyard becomes this picture, this fruitful vineyard is a picture of God's people, something that is essential in the ancient world. And if you're familiar with the book of Isaiah, this idea of God's people being a vineyard has already come up. Isaiah chapter 5, God gives this entire, like, it's like 15 verses or so, about how he compares his people to this wonderful vineyard. And so the man who is planting this vineyard is certainly God. And the vineyard is God's people. But the parable continues. "When the time came, he sent a servant to the tenants so that they would give him some of the fruit of the vineyard. But the tenants beat him and sent him away empty-handed. And he sent another servant, but they also beat and treated him shamefully and sent him away empty-handed. And he sent yet a third. This one also they wounded and cast out." These servants of God that he is continually sending over and over and over again, seeking some sort of fruit, are the prophets. And God didn't only send one prophet, he sent prophet after prophet after prophet. In fact, every time that the people of Israel fell into some sort of sin, God would send a prophet saying, "Repent and return to the Lord." That's the fruit of faith. The fruit of faith is repentance and good works. But what commonly happened to these prophets when God would send them, but they would be abused? They were not accepted by God's people because the message of repentance and judgment and the fact that you have to change your sinful life that you are enjoying so much, that's not really a welcome word. Not at all. And so instead of hitting the high points, I'll talk about one major prophet. But do you guys remember Micaiah? Not Micah, Micaiah. He gets slapped on the cheek, right? He goes before the people, and what happens is the leaders of Israel, they slap him across the face because they don't like his message of repentance. What about Zechariah? Not Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist. Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada. He was stoned to death. Right, by the people of Israel. But the leaders incite this thing against Jehoiada, Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada. So he gets stoned to death. And those are just two of the more obscure prophets, but this happens over and over again. Every time a prophet is sent, and in fact, most of the time when a prophet is sent to a pagan nation, like you get like the picture of Jonah, who goes to a nation that's not even Israel, it's not even God's people. And yet they actually accept the prophet. But whenever a prophet is sent to God's people, they seem to dislike that prophet a great deal. And probably the ultimate person of this, other than Christ himself, right, is Jeremiah. Jeremiah is beaten. And if being beaten isn't enough, then they put him in the stocks. Right? And then later on in his life, he's also beaten again. And then he's thrown in prison. And if that's not enough, later on in his life, he's actually thrown into a cistern where the people of Israel are hoping that he will starve to death. But then, of course, he is rescued. The problem with Israel rejecting the prophets, though, is that when you reject the prophet, you are actually rejecting the one who sent the prophet. And so in rejecting these prophets, God's people are actually rejecting God. So then the owner of the vineyard said, "What shall I do? I will send my beloved son. Perhaps they will respect him." But when the tenants saw him, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Let us kill him, so that the inheritance may be ours. And they threw him out of the vineyard and killed him.
What an idiot. Dead serious. What an idiot.
They treated all of your servants poorly, and now you're going to send your son? What is wrong with this guy who owns the vineyard? He's got a serious problem. He clearly doesn't have any wisdom, right? If they're going to treat the servants poorly, why would you expect them to treat your son any better? He's not an idiot. I mean, it's God we're talking about. God's not an idiot. No, what Jesus is trying to teach is about the patience of God, the long suffering that God has with us, and how he truly doesn't want to destroy anyone, but he desires all to repent and come to the knowledge of the truth. And so what does he do for his people? He gives them opportunity after opportunity after opportunity in order that they might finally repent and believe. That they might finally put away their sinful way of life. In some impossible gesture, the man sends his son. And this, of course, is God sending his own son, Jesus. We know what will happen. Because we know the story of Christ. Jesus isn't treated any better than the prophets. In fact, he is struck on the face, and while he isn't stoned to death, he is certainly beaten within an inch of his life and led out to a hill where they kill him. But we already know that too. I mean, the scribes, they're planning to kill him at this point. In fact, Jesus is telling the scribes, because, you know, the scribes and Pharisees, as the end of the parable comes along, they discern that this parable is told against them. And you know what? They're right. but it cracks me up because as much as they perceive this parable is told against them, they should know that they're actually going to have success in putting Christ to death. He just told them that's what's going to happen. Yeah, you're going to cast me out. You're going to cast me out of here and you're going to kill me and it's going to work. But the problem is that they don't actually understand what's going on. They think that in killing Christ, they are actually going to receive an inheritance, that everything is going to go back to normal, right? That the whole world, all of the people of Israel, will just forget that the Son of God, that the Messiah has actually come. And that's not what happens. They think they're going to get the vineyard back for themselves, the people of God, and they can be leaders with authority and power and all that sort of stuff, but it doesn't work. So you might kill the son, but you are not going to receive the inheritance. And in fact, we see how that all plays out too. 40 years later, in the year 70 AD, the Romans come in and they destroy the temple. They get rid of the Jewish authority that existed in that place. And it's never rebuilt. In fact, right now on the Temple Mount is the Dome of the Rock. It's a Muslim mosque. The Jews lost. Why? Because they rejected the prophets. Because they rejected the Old Testament. They rejected the Word. And if they're going to reject what God had written for them for their benefit in the past, all of those things that lead up to Christ, and then they reject Christ himself, what do you think is going to happen? They're destroyed. You know, the Jewish faith at this point, it's a lie. It's a false religion. It's false belief. It leads to destruction. All of the Jews who so, you know, diligently follow the beliefs of the Old Testament, they are going to be condemned for all eternity. And so too will we if we reject God's word. And so as we bring this parable into our own time, where do we find ourselves? We're the others. God says he's going to destroy those tenants, and he is going to lend out his vineyard to others. We are the others. We are in charge of God's church. And again, we could point to pastors and say this is just pastor's job, or point to our synod and say this is just the synod's job to be mindful of what the church actually teaches. But truth be told, you are the other tenants. It is your job to guard the church. It is your job to make sure there is fruit for God to collect. It's not somebody else's job. And so do you? Are you living a life of repentance? Do you study God's word and gladly hear and learn it? Or do you treat it as something small, something to be despised? My friends, there is destruction on the line, you remember, right? If God does not see the fruits of repentance and good works, what might he do to us? We are sinful beings. And as much as we would like to point the finger and say that we have been better than the Old Testament people who rejected the prophets, and as much as we like to think that we are better than the Pharisees who put Jesus on the cross, truth be told, we are not. So what God requires of us, what God would want of us, is to do something different with his Son. You see, those former tenants, what they did is they took Jesus out and they put him on the tree of the cross where he shed his blood and he died. But you know what happened after that? He came back to life. He came to the people of Israel once, they killed him, he comes back to life, and now he goes out to the others. He comes out to you. And what will we do with Jesus? Will we receive him as God's son? Do we receive him as God's means of salvation for the world? Or do we reject him just like the former tenants did? You see, the Pharisees had a certain hardness of heart that is what caused them to receive the coming destruction. Even in the midst of God's patience and long suffering, they didn't repent. And they didn't believe the word. And so this is why God calls us to something better. He calls you to recognize your sins for what they are, to repent of them, and to receive Christ as your Savior. To receive the great love that Jesus has for you. And why wouldn't you want to? I mean, honestly, where's the catch? God sent his son to the people of the New Testament and the Old, and all God wanted was for them to say that they were wrong and to believe his word. That's not a hard thing to do. Where's the catch? Where's all of the hard work that I have to put in? Where's all of the things that I need to do to earn this? And the truth is that there is none. Just believe. There's no price to pay, no favor to earn, nothing. You are forgiven. The end. Because Jesus died and rose for you. Because he willingly laid down his life and shed his blood for you. Why would any of us reject that? My friends, we are the vineyard. Now. And what does that mean? It means that we are to continually receive the message of God's word, whether it comes from a pastor or anywhere else. We're to receive the sacraments of the Lord, to understand the great gifts that we have in the baptism and the Lord's Supper, because that's where God invites us to receive his Son, not to reject him. And so let us hear the law that convicts us of our sin, and let us welcome it, because it leads us to repentance. It leads us to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ that restores our hearts and promises that we are forgiven in the death and resurrection of Jesus. And truly then, God will find the fruit that he is seeking. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.